Of this little radio program, you'll see Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg standing by to join us in just a couple of minutes. First, as Uncle Joe would say, folks, it's a new week. It's a new month, Monday, August 1st, and it's time for a new show, one we hope will become part of your daily routine. The state of Wisconsin has long been in need of a show based not out of Milwaukee or out of Madison, but out of a place based up north. We can debate where up north begins all day long, and one of these days we will. But a daily Wisconsin-centered place to visit and talk about what's going on each day based up here in Lake Wissota, listening or watching in Wausau this morning. Maybe you're gazing out at the big lake at the Black Cat in Ashland or Shawano Lake. Maybe you're not as far up north, Richland Center, that you will feel like this is a place to take a coffee break at some point on weekdays. And we're going to talk more about the actual makeup of the show in a little while. But first, let's jump right into what we have planned for you this hour. Thanking my friend Dangerous Don Rue for that introduction. And also thank you in advance to our producer, Luke Mathers, our esteemed producer. Luke, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. Esteemed is very, very high. That's high praise from you. So I appreciate that.
Well, remember, we only go backwards from here. We start with you getting all the credit, and then, you know, the grade comes down with, you know, each successive failure.
Fair
and
enough.
I don't anticipate any of those.
That's much kinder than all my teachers growing up. So I appreciate that.
See, this is a new approach. We're gonna start high. Brewers lost to the Red Sox 7-2. They still take the series, day off before they go to Pittsburgh. They were in Boston, and we'll talk about this later, maybe. With Boston mourning the passing of Bill Russell, which, look, I'm not the world's biggest basketball fan. I'm more of a baseball guy, but this is like, you know, this is Babe Ruth dying, you know. So we just want to, you know, props to him as well. And more about news around the world, you know, over the next 3 hours here. But as I mentioned at the top, it is my honor for our first guest to be Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. The mayor, the woman, the internet legend herself, who got to be that way by doing something rather inexplicable in politics. And that's just being genuine, just being herself. And that's probably all the introduction I think anybody really needs, Katie, because you just take the rest from there. And I'm so glad, Madam Mayor, to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's the best introduction you could have given me, that I became known for being myself. That's the best thing ever.
Well, it's something that, I mean, a lot of us saw in you, you know, years earlier, certainly when I was, you know, running for Congress back in the day, up here in the 7th Congressional District and dealing with the entire, you know, the entire Obi, you know, family, the entire Rosenberg, you know, the Robinsons, the whole, everybody likes to use the word mafia, and I don't like to because of the connotations, but whatever kind of syndicate that we have going up here is pretty cool. It's not as, you know, powerful as it used to be, but no less well-connected and no less devoted to public service. Let's start there first. Just, you know, a little bit of your own story, why you chose to run for mayor, what it was you saw in your family and in your community that said, I want to play a role in this.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, my dad decided that he didn't like something that was going on in the city. And he said, you know what, I'm going to run for city council. And he did. And he won. He beat the incumbent. And, you know, he brought me to meetings. He got me interested in really nerdy stuff. And I feel so lucky. And actually, when I met you was in 2006, my first job out of college. I was working for Dave Obi, and you were running for state senate in, you know, your own upstart campaign, successful. So right. Really excited. But so I've always been interested in politics. And when the opportunity came up in 2015, I applied for an appointment for a vacant seat on the county board. Definitely did not get it. Rosenberg can also be a liability. But then I ran in 2016. So that's kind of history.
I've always had a soft spot for county board service, for any kind of local service, frankly, you know, school board, city council, what have you. But my introduction as a college reporter, you know, I wanted like the big glamour job, which would be like city council or, you know, school board. And instead, my journalism professor assigned me to the county board Eau Claire County Board Solid Waste Committee.
Oh man, and, so exciting.
But he was like, this was Henry Lippold. And he said, Mr. Kreitlow, you don't understand. The garbage is where the money is. And it turned out he was absolutely right, because the landfill was a big deal back then. And I really came to appreciate the people on the Eau Claire County Board who served in that. And so I want to talk to you a bit about local government service, the best parts and the worst, the most mundane parts about, you know, being the mayor of the city of Wausau, and some of the very serious issues that you're confronting as well. So we will do all of that with our guest for this hour, Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. This is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
Showed up in boots, ruined your black tie face.
Wisconsin Conversation, real last information, one to know, live last from Lake one Minnesota. To show, this is Up I was North the last News one you thought Kreitlow. You'd see there.
And my guest this hour, Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg, and I can hear some of you yelling at the radio already or your interweb screen. Yes, we will get to the goats, I promise. You cannot have any conversation with Katie Rosenberg without talking about the goats. But
not this time of year.
but there's plenty else going on in Wausau, where the sun's going to come out later today and get back up to about 78, and then a real warm up coming for the rest of the week out in Mayor Rosenberg's neck of the woods. You were at Hmong Wausau Fest for the weekend. For folks who aren't in town proper, tell us all about that and why it was such a big, busy weekend for you.
Oh my gosh. So it was the fifth ever Hmong Wausau Festival. Big, huge shout out to Yilang Zhang and the Hmong American Center for staging the whole thing. It was huge. So this thing brings in millions of dollars in revenue for tax dollars and hotel stays for our whole region, which is big. But most importantly, we're celebrating our Hmong history, heritage, and our accomplishments and what's going to happen moving forward. So really, it was a great time. Lots of local dignitaries there. Lots of dancing and food. It was amazing. It was a hot one. It was amazing, though.
Mm-hmm. But it's also that annual reinforcement that we really needed, certainly last year with Afghanistan, of, you know, the better angels of our nature when it comes to being welcoming toward people who are, you know, fleeing rough situations. I was born and raised in St. Paul before moving to Wisconsin at a fairly young age, but there too was a major welcoming presence for the Hmong community, you know, in the wake of the Vietnam War. And I mean, for a lot of folks now, that's ancient history, but it shouldn't be. And I think the lessons remain as relevant today as they do then, don't you think?
Oh my gosh, 100%. I'm not going to reiterate my speech that I gave, because of course there were 3 hours of speeches, but you know, I did talk to somebody who's around my age, and he's right now the board president of the Hmong American Center. And we were talking, he's on one of our committees. We were talking about, how do we welcome Afghan refugees? How do we make sure that they have the resources they need? And his story was very personal, because he came here as a refugee in the 90s. And actually, just last week, he got his U.S. citizenship. So like, there's all kinds of opportunities to talk about these stories that are not just ancient history, right? They're our history, our shared history. These are our neighbors still. And of course, we're welcoming folks, not just from, you know, who have the legacy of the secret war, but obviously Afghanistan. We've welcomed over 80 refugees from Afghanistan. And now we're welcoming people from Congo and Burma. So it's big. It's huge here. And we just got to keep going and keep bringing people to safety and having them involved in our community.
And this needs to be said, because we hear so many people talking about, you know, building walls and other such things that are meant to, frankly, again, feed some of the darker angels of our nature. This country, more than ever, needs immigration reform. It needs immigration, especially here up north, where the workforce is not nearly as plentiful as it used to be. Yes, we can have a fair debate about what constitutes, you know, proper immigration reform, but we really need it. And one need only look at the Hmong communities in Wausau and Eau Claire and all around Wisconsin to see the benefits of it. Wausau sesquicentennial was also something that is keeping you busy. How do we go about marking that for, you know, the greater Bull Falls area?
Yeah, aside from a couple of epic storms, we had a wonderful parade. We invited the former Wausau mayors who are around still to participate. So, of course, John Robinson showed up with his archive of Robinson for Mayor paraphernalia. So that was fun.
Nice.
A lot of people asking me if he's running. Hey, you should ask him. But we had a nice parade. We had lots of music, food, games, lots of fun for families. 150 years never looked so good.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much that goes on downtown. I love watching, you know, the live music events that are happening there. I love the way things are decorated. We were looking at some Wausau photos yesterday, saw all the umbrellas, you know, up in the blue and yellow, colors signifying Ukraine. Again, that indication that, you know, Wausau is, you know, looking outward and, you know, not just in it for itself. And it's that kind of, you know, welcoming nature that I would imagine has been pretty good for business downtown and elsewhere.
Oh, yeah. People love that. Those umbrellas, man, they are so popular. And actually, we welcomed our first Ukrainian refugee family. We're actually moving ahead a little bit of the federal government with the excitement that people have around here. So when they saw those umbrellas, it was a good thing. It was good for people to see that.
Tell folks the stories behind the umbrella.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been putting them up for the last several years, but having them, the yellow and the blue color this year, last year, I think they were in honor of our healthcare workers. Previously, we just kind of had them multicolored and exciting. And if you look on Instagram and you look at the tags of Wausau, I'm probably at least half of those pictures are going to have those umbrellas in them. People love it.
it's always nice when a community finds that one, you know, little niche thing that helps it stand out. And it's
very cool. Oh yeah. We won our Great American Main Street Award in 2019. And when the picture of our downtown showed up in Seattle on the big screen, everyone was like, oh, they saw that. They loved it. So yeah, wow. It means something.
Well, so that's some of the fun, some of the good parts about being the mayor of a city in the great American Midwest here. But it's not all fun and games, as you know, Katie Rosenberg or anybody could tell you, and not, you know, just because any of us have a lot of fans on social media does not by any stretch mean you are universally loved.
Oh, no, definitely not.
and appreciated and such. And it's to that end that I'm going to want to get into some of the challenges related to PFAS in the water and some of the outright hostility by some people towards seeking solutions on that. But before I get to that part of it, I want to get to some of the politics of it, simply because we're dealing with some real-time news these days. And in this case around Wisconsin, it's that Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes has essentially cleared the field in his run for U.S. Senate. It was 1 week ago right now, we were talking about Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson's decision to depart the race. And that was followed a couple of days later by Milwaukee Bucks executive Alex Lazary, and then followed surprisingly by Sarah Godlewski, which meant that, again, that makes the lieutenant governor the presumptive nominee in the Democratic primary, which takes place 1 week from tomorrow, to be the candidate to run against Senator Ron Johnson. Lieutenant Governor Barnes got your support pretty early on. Tell us about that and what led to it, and what you have to say about what kind of a senator he would be for central and northern Wisconsin.
Yeah, first of all, you know, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is a good dude, and I want to give a shout out to all those candidates who are running and who were running in that race. It's huge. They're all good people. They all had great points. They all had strengths that are worth highlighting. So thank you for putting your names out there. But you know, I've known Lieutenant Governor Barnes since he was in the Assembly. He served alongside one of my good friends, Mandy Wright, and I got to know him at that point. So when he decided to make a run for lieutenant governor, I immediately was like, yep, I'm on Team Bards. Let's go. And so it really wasn't hard for me to make that same decision this time around when he decided he needed to run for something else. It's a little heartache, right? Because I think he's doing a great job as lieutenant governor. I think he and Evers make a great team. But you know, he's going to make a great senator. He's the kind of person that will continue to listen to folks all across our state. And that's something I really appreciated over his tenure with in the state right now, is that he's come to Wausau several times. He cares about the issues. He's listened to our local businesses. He's listened to even the small businesses. And actually, I think I posted a picture on my Facebook page of him listening to a 7-year-old tell him about her experience. And, you know, I think that's the kind of stuff that's really important, is that you don't lose touch with your district, that you're accessible. And even when it's hard, to keep showing up.
He is one of the Democrats that I appreciate from that part of the state that do not subscribe to the theory of, well, almost all the Democratic votes are in Milwaukee and Madison, so we just need to squeeze out a couple of more votes there. It's not worth the investment to try to get, you know, Democrats or Democratic leaning independents in other parts of the state. He could have tried to do that in Milwaukee, Madison, and a few other areas, but like you said, has been all over the state because, you know, a U.S. senator needs to be responsive to concerns everywhere. It's something that I think was a pleasant surprise on behalf of folks up here by Tammy Baldwin. I worked for Senator Baldwin for the first couple of months of her term before other opportunities came up, but as her representative for Northern Wisconsin, one of the pleasant parts of the job was meeting people who either, you know, were politically opposed to her or just were cynical because, you know, she's, you know, this congresswoman from Madison, she's not going to care about things up here. And I mean, she's a tour de force, you know, when it comes to getting all over the state, being genuinely curious about what is helpful to that part of the state. Do you feel like Mandela Barnes is going to be able to do that as well between now and November? I mean, if he wins, he's going to be extremely capable of that after November, I have no doubt, but he's got to win first. So what do you think he's going to have for appeal, you know, outside the Wausau city limits?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's been all over the place. He's been talking to farmers out here in Western Marathon County, people who don't necessarily get visits from candidates like this. So I think he's doing a great job. He could certainly save on gas and miles if he ignored us, but he wouldn't do that. That's just not what you do when you want to represent people. And, you know, one of the things that I keep bringing up with any candidate that comes here is I talk about what a great partner for local government Senator Baldwin has been. You know, when we discovered our PFAS in our water, in every well, her team reached out and said, how can we help you? How can we make sure that you're getting the resources you need, the kind of information you need that's factual? Very helpful. So I would expect the same from anyone. I think that's just the way that's the way it is. We are here to work together, and it's only good for our shared constituents. So I don't know why anyone would want to ignore anyone out here, 135,000 people in Marathon County or wherever they are.
And again, the two of them have each worked at, you know, the lower levels of government in, you know, the more local levels, the more representative levels in the assembly or what have you, which I certainly think makes you more responsive than, say, being a, you know, a multimillionaire businessman who tries to saunter right into U.S. Senate as Ron Johnson has done. And frankly, I don't see the inevitability that is out there of Republicans having these big gains simply because it's a midterm year. You know, Ron Johnson has said and done enough things that while they are certainly going to go back to the usual bag of tricks, you know, painting Mandela Barnes as a liberal or what have you, you know, Katie, I don't think that's necessarily going to stick this year.
No, and also conventional wisdom is so hard at this point. I don't know what the conventional wisdom is anymore. I wouldn't trust it.
No, you really can't, because, and again, it comes down to, you know, folks got to go vote, and they can either do so, you know, in person a week from tomorrow, or if like me, you've got your absentee ballot already, get that filled out, send that in. We'll be talking about that over the time as well. Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg is our guest for this hour. This is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Take a break. Be back in just a moment. North News with Pat Kreitlow. Good to have you here on this Monday, August 1st. Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg is our guest for this hour. Katie has been has been dedicated to public service since way back when. And to prove that, you need only look at her Father's Day tweet where she said, "Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Here's a picture my mom took of my dad and me last year when she got sick of listening to us talking about all the public infrastructure in Marquette, Michigan." Katie, wear the nerd banner proudly.
I will always wear the nerd banner proudly. And honestly, Marquette, amazing, amazing work. I bet it was expensive.
Well, and that's the kind of public investment, you know, that frankly, it takes to one degree or another so that you're, you know, it's the cliche, but if you're not growing and living, you're dying. And, mm-hmm. you know, we don't need that from any of our towns. Do you get this much, you know, what is the best part of being mayor?
Yeah. You know, I think just being around people, not the people who are trying to sell me on something, but just like hearing from people about what they actually care about, what's affecting them, what they need. That really feels centering to me, because it's like, oh yes, that's just exactly what I care about still. So sometimes it gets easy to get carried away with some of the stuff that we're asked. And, you know, when you're talking about investments of millions of dollars or what do you do with this stuff, it starts to get mind boggling. So it's nice to hear from people like, I just want to make sure that my water is safe to drink. Mm-hmm. Me too. That's it.
Right. So back into the nuts and bolts of the job then, and dealing with PFAS. Little plug for Up North News here, which you can find at upnorthnewswi.com or search Up North News WI on social media. I dare say we've been fairly relentless about covering the issue of PFAS, which is an acronym for a very long string of descriptions for industrial chemicals that are used in everything from firefighting foam to, you know, waterproofing to, you know, nonstick coating. These are man-made chemicals. Man-made chemicals don't break down naturally, easily, or at all, depending on the case. And, you know, we're finding more of these in our drinking water supplies around Wisconsin, around the country. It does not necessarily mean that there was, you know, nefarious intent on the part of manufacturers decades ago. It also doesn't take them entirely off the hook because, frankly, good stewardship is something that isn't a brand new concept here. Regardless, we have to move forward with identifying PFAS contaminated areas, trying to remedy them, or trying to mitigate the circumstances and live with it. And where necessary, you know, provide enforcement and seek penalties. So it's a very multifaceted issue that Mayor Rosenberg has had to deal with. Let's start with, what is the current situation of PFAS contaminations levels, you know, in Wausau, how you found that out to be, and what you're currently doing, what you want to do down the road? Where are we right now in terms of PFAS in Wausau?
Yeah, so in January, the DNR asked if we would voluntarily test because one of our neighbors had a well that was contained elevated levels of PFAS. So of course I said, absolutely, let's do this. We want to be a part of the solution. I wasn't expecting the results to come back that all six of our wells have elevated levels and there's really nothing you can do other than provide alternative water sources, filters, things like that. So that was a challenge and a crisis, right, to deal with. So we've been handing out water filter pitchers. They're five stage. They have resins. They have carbon. All of that. But luckily, we were already in the works of building our new drinking water facility, and there's space to grow, which we're doing before we even open. So we're working on granular activated carbon system there that will take us down to hopefully non-detect levels. That will be probably January 24. But in the shorter term, we'll be opening this drinking water facility. We've been studying the effects of certain kinds of resins and different proprietary media. So we should get down to between 0 and 12 parts per trillion once we open that new drinking water facility this year. So really exciting. It can't come soon enough. It was really hard to not wish away the summer. But yeah, really excited that we'll have an equitable solution for, you know, everyone in this city.
It is that kind of Infrastructure investment we talk about, when I think a lot of folks hear infrastructure, they just think roads and bridges, but it involves everything from sewer lines to, you know, drinking water plants and what have you. And you, frankly, you have to be creative, and you talk about resins and other things, because again, this isn't a single chemical compound. So you have to be creative. Yeah. You also have to make investments you weren't necessarily planning for. Mm-hmm. We've reported on some of the cities that are using funds from President Biden's American Rescue Plan and putting some of that money to work to at least mitigate PFAS contamination. How is Wausau? This is a two-parter. How is Wausau dealing with the financial end of dealing with PFAS? And then, you know, we'll get to more of, you know, what the American Rescue Plan has meant to the city.
Yeah, so the building of the plant initially was paid for by borrowing and rate increases. So, you know, people were not happy necessarily about that. And to then to say, hey, by the way, we have $16 million in unexpected things that we didn't already account for. So we're trying to find different solutions that won't impact the ratepayers directly. But that's a challenge because, as you say, we have bipartisan infrastructure dollars, which are great. Thank you. We'll use them. They're all coming through the state. So there's that whole process there. We have some ARPA funding that we can work on. And, you know, we're also working with Senator Baldwin's office. She has opportunities for I don't think they call them earmarks anymore, but it's congressionally directed funding for, you know, nonprofits and local governments. So we're working on that. But all of this, we're working ahead of all of this because this all takes a lot of time. So we still have to come up with an alternative financing plan that we can then reimburse and hopefully not have to pass on so much in those rate increases. But that's probably a discussion that we need to have as a utility, but we're not quite there yet. So I wish I could tell you everything about how it will directly impact, but, you know, we're still kind of working on that funding package.
This would all go a little easier, a little more smoothly, if there were a state natural resources board that was devoted to caring for the state's natural resources. It is not. It is a board that continues to have control by Scott Walker appointees. And you might be surprised to learn that. But the story behind that is that even though we are in the fourth year of Tony Evers' term, there is a Scott Walker appointee, Fred Prehn, who won't leave the board. His term has expired well over a year ago. Governor Evers has appointed Sandra D. Nass to succeed him, but he won't leave the board. Continues to do the bidding of Scott Walker, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which has been downright hostile to identifying, cleaning up, and enforcing rules on PFAS. I set all this up for Mayor Rosenberg because, you know, he had decided somehow to make it personal when you simply wanted to care as mayor and seek solutions. And yet somehow he didn't take kindly to that.
Yeah, you know, that was a fun moment in February. And actually, I have a lot of feelings about how that meeting was run. So if anybody needs Robert's rules and decorum, you know, updates, I'd be definitely willing to help that DNR board out. But, you know, I think that this goes to show you how politics is making some of these situations worse for people. This is a situation that shouldn't be politicized. It shouldn't be left versus right. I think we all want safe water. I've not met people who are like, you know, I identify as a Republican and I don't care about water. That is absolutely not. So I think that this is definitely a step too far in this kind of politicking of the natural resources. And, you know, there's part of me that's like, why would we continue with a board like this? I mean, why do you keep it? It doesn't seem to be fulfilling its duties. So, yeah, it was combative.
It was. I mean, he outright accused you of spreading hysteria. Yeah. You know, as you know, gender loaded a term as that is. But of course, he had the gender related, you know, cojones to go there, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, you know, it's not the first time I've heard something like that, because obviously women speaking out, it gives people, you know, a little bit to react to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's his problem, right? I mean, I'm going to continue speaking out on behalf of my community, and he can choose to ignore it. he can say that that's political, but that's just not the case.
Well, I think that as more people learn about Fred Prehn's unwillingness to step down from the board, while it was done in explicit collusion with Republican legislators, leaders, even former Governor Walker, I believe that is going to become more of a liability the longer that he stays on the board. It will become an albatross around the necks of a party that, you know, already gleefully delights in the gerrymandering that it has done, gleefully delights in the obstruction that it's put in front of Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call. But I don't know that that's necessarily going to stick, Katie, because like you said, I, here in Chippewa County, surrounded by Republicans, not one of them is saying they're pro-pollution. And not one of them, you know, tells me they would like to, you know, block an election, and not one of them would agree with, you know, somebody staying on a board well after their term expired. And you're in an area now that went from very reliable lawmakers representing it, like Mandy Wright, whom you referred to earlier, Dave Obey in Congress. You know, now you have a legislative contingent all the way down to a school board level that is, downright hostile to, like you said, rules and decorum and public service. And I can't imagine that's necessarily what you signed up for when you ran for mayor, but are willing to accept that environment?
Yeah, you know, this is one of those things where it's not enough to be just interested in policymaking and being a big nerd and, you know, getting stuff done. Like, you also have to basically arm yourself, you know, put your armor on every day and just, you're going to get targeted. You're going to have people talking about you. You're going to have just nastiness, right? I mean, and, you know, politics in general, I mean, you can see it across the nation. It's become really challenging. And so there are people who maybe would be interested, but aren't. And that's, it's really the effects of this kind of hostile environment and what people are seeing on the cable news channels and even the not cable news channels, right? I do want to give a shout out to Sandra Dinas. I got a chance to meet her last week, just serendipitously, and she is brilliant. She's a UWSP grad, knows a lot about soil. She's a teacher. We need her. We need her voice. She would be great on that board. So I really hope that we can find it in ourselves to figure out a way through this, because it's anti-democratic what's happening now.
Oh yeah, with a small D, and it will only get worse if Governor Evers is not reelected. You will continue to see people stay well beyond what they had signed up for. I mean, come on, look, it's even indicative now. Ron Johnson pledged to only run for two terms, and here he is running for a third term, and it's that kind of environment that. I mean, the headlines talk about how local election clerks all around the state and all around the country are feeling the pressure because of the big lie. There are conspiracy theorists in every town. And I don't know the degree to which you've talked to your own clerks and other election workers, but I would imagine they've expressed that same sense of concern and hostility that's out there.
Yeah, you know, during that first CARES Act funding opportunity, we actually installed bulletproof glass in the clerk's office so that there was, you know, opportunity to, you know, separate. And, you know, part of it had to do with COVID, and we're able to separate people in that way. But we made sure that it was bulletproof because we just don't know. We don't know what to expect. And, you know, I don't want to alarm people, but that's just the fact of the matter. We have to protect our public employees that are on the front lines here all the time.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. Can you stick around for one more segment?
Oh, I think so.
Because if I had to let you go, I'd have to ask you very quickly about goats. And
we're
not. We have teased people all along the way here. So
people need to know about the goats.
People need to know, and we're going to deal with that. But we've been talking mostly in this segment about infrastructure, and I mean, we're not even going to have time to get into the COVID wastewater testing, but all the minutia of
so much good stuff.
it's not your everyday job, that's for sure. Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg will stick around with us for a little bit more to wrap up this first hour of Up North News with Pat Kreitlow for this Monday, August 1st. Find us on the web at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll be right back.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM and WXCO 1230 AM.
Welcome back. Up North News on the radio and online. At Up North Show, as you cruise through Facebook or Up North News WI, if you want to see our main news page where we post throughout the day. Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg with us for a few more minutes to wrap up this hour. And as advertised, from square one, Katie, where'd the idea for goats come from?
Oh, well, you know, I wish I could tell you it just sprang forth out of nowhere. But I, as all good things, I found it was on Twitter. And I saw Madison Parks in 2020 employed goats for the first time to eat some of their invasive species. And, you know, it struck me, we need them. We have lots of island parks along the river, and we want to make sure that we're not polluting the river. So I pestered our parks department for a whole year. And in 2021, we brought the goats from Almond, Wisconsin, Liberation Farmers. And they spent about a month with us last year enjoying all the buckthorn, which is something we don't do. We don't enjoy it. So really exciting. And they are here right now for the second year in a row. It's now, I think it's going to have to happen every year here on out. Maybe we'll have sheep. Maybe we'll have others.
I have to tell you, last year when this first started, we were talking about it on our Wednesday night show, the Up North Podcast. And I was immediately a fan because I have been in a war, a one-man war against buckthorn along one of my property lines for years now. And my wife is full on with the idea that if we could find, if we could, you know, just pen off the buckthorn area and, you know, rent a goat for a while, we'd be all in. But that's because we liked the novelty of it. But now I get to ask you, and clearly you brought them back, so I think I know the answer. Is it working? How do you know that it's working as well as other ways to treat invasive species?
Yeah, so it's working. You can tell, I think we did maybe a time lapse, and you can actually see the work that they've done eating those shoots of buckthorn and kind of getting rid of that stuff. So it's working, and it's nice that we don't have to use those herbicides again, because we're right by the river. But yeah, Parks Department is pleased with it. And also, you know, this park that we have targeted for this kind of remediation is not a park that's been used a lot. So it's really brought more attention to it, and people are excited to be out there. You know, I even got a message from somebody in the winter, where are the goats? I'm like, well, they're at home now. But, you know, maybe that's the opportunity for us. Maybe we just need them year round. We got a lot of spaces. I have the county administrator asking me about it because I think he has some parks he'd like to take care of. So, you know, this could be a thing for us.
I hate to take this in a terribly dark direction for some people, but part of the reason we could also be in favor of it, as my wife and I have both discovered on international trips, I mean, goat's as delicious as it gets. So, I mean, much like your Thanksgiving turkey, you know, they're serving a role for a while and then they're serving a different one entirely. People have asked you about this, and I know that other cities or other folks have hit you up on Twitter saying, I got to talk to you about this. Yeah. Are you aware of places that have actually taken that from talking to you about it to putting it in action?
Yeah. Earlier this year, I had an opportunity to speak at the Milwaukee County Parks meeting to testify in favor of goats and our experience. And they voted unanimously in favor of this. So I don't know when their goats are coming or if they're planning for next year or this year, but really exciting that this is kind of spreading. I would love to see the state employ goats, you know, instead of maybe using mowing or herbicides along the roads. I would love to see that. And actually, I maybe have pestered the governor's office a little bit about that.
I mean, honestly, can you imagine that you're taking 94, you know, to Madison, Milwaukee, or heading, you know, 39 up north, and in the medians are, you know, like fenced off areas, and you, on your drive, you're always looking, where are the goats? Oh, they've made it this far, you know, this week, you know.
So delightful. You can't be mad. Cut down on road rage.
I like that. We are really onto something here. And it's these kind of ideas that are going to bridge divides. There are always things that transcend politics. You know, I mentioned, you know, Bill Russell at the top of the hour and sports. And you know, there are things that I can bond over with my Republican neighbors, like our war against buckthorn and other other weeds. But we are keenly aware in Wisconsin, in part because of Catherine Kramer's work and others, that the rural-urban divide has really gotten worse in politics, I guess, over this generation, whatever you want to call it. And we've talked before about how the Wausau political split has become more exacerbated too. Do you feel like your willingness to, again, just kind of be more genuine and bring in some ideas, you know, it has helped that? Or, I mean, be frank, if you feel like things with the rest of Marathon County are as bad or worse than ever, I mean, maybe that's the case too.
Yeah, you know, it has been tough. It's been a tough couple of years. We've just had over and over again, we've been hit with really hard things to deal with. This pandemic, hard to deal with. This water stuff, I mean, even Marathon County's Community for All discussion, obviously covered by the New York Times and all of that, like that is hard. And it kind of highlights, you know, where we think differently. And I don't think that's all of who we are, though. You know, there are plenty of people out there who I disagree with on some issues that I can agree with on a lot. I mean, we are made of the same stuff. We grew up in the same places, enjoying the same parks. So I don't want to overemphasize this urban-rural divide because, you know, I go to Milwaukee. We care about the same stuff as Milwaukee. We care about the same stuff as Madison. I care about the same stuff as Jim Payne up in Superior, right? Like this is all, this is manufactured in a lot of ways to divide us. And it makes us easier as demographics, right? And I don't want that. I want people to come together and be able to solve problems. You know, the goats, if you're a fiscal conservative, it is so much cheaper to employ these goats for a month than it is to have people handpick or use herbicides. And, you know, fiscal conservative like that, you know, it's not hard.
It's not. And frankly, yes, I think a lot of it is manufactured. From my time in the legislature, I found that working with the delegation in Milwaukee, you know, on behalf of lower income children who need good schools. Well, I'm representing a rural Wisconsin district with lower income kids that need good schools. And so we worked on, you know, different ways to provide that aid. Last thing, Katie, of course, is because you've made just a stellar, but not at all surprising, you know, reputation in your first couple of years. You know, people are rushing and people want to know, why aren't you running for U.S. Senate this year? Why aren't you running for governor? What's that been like for people trying to rush the next chapter of your story?
Yeah, that is not what I'm about. I am about trying to do the best I can in this job. And, you know, it's really, I feel honored that people think that I'm capable and qualified of being any of those things. I'm super proud to support the people who are in those, who are running for those races. But yeah, I want to be here for my community. I would not feel comfortable taking off after 2 years and saying, see you guys later. Thanks for the memories. So yeah, I'm here.
I'm guessing your husband would probably have something to say about that too. He's been a reluctant but enthusiastic supporter.
Yeah, he doesn't love the politics, but he does love Wausau.
He has been a great sport, as have you, Katie Rosenberg. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This has been fun.
Thank you. All right. Have a great day. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be back with our next hour.